prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you
free. The truth will set you free. It is Truth Revolution. I am Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
And we're from Revolution Church. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I know it's already the 5th, but this is the first time we've gotten to speak to you in 2014 and listen to Truth Shots Monday, Wednesday, Friday, which you should.
Right. And you haven't heard from us since last year, so if it seems like it's been a while.
Yeah. So, hey, you know, we do Truth Shots on the website, truthrevolution.tv, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, which means this year, you already should have heard at least two of them.
Yes.
So get over to truthrevolution.tv and check those out. 60 seconds of truth. We do.
That's right.
We do 60 seconds, what takes us on Sunday mornings half an hour.
Yeah, it's a condensed version.
Extremely condensed version.
You should give Jeff a pat on the back. And because, I mean, he has to condense all these down, and he does all that work. So, you know, I don't do anything. I just sit here and talk.
You talk a lot.
I do.
You're good at it. All right. But, hey, we are from Revolution Church. Every Sunday morning at 9 and 11:15, we have church, like legitimate actual church, not just radio church.
Oh, I was going to say, what else would it be?
It's in Salina, Kansas. You can watch live online if you're not in Salina or if you're homesick, which just go to our website, truthrevolution.tv.
Right.
You can click on when and where.
Yep.
But you're also welcome to come. Wear whatever you want. We don't care. We're not judging you. Tats, piercings, weird clothes.
Right.
I'm not associating.
I think if we had a checklist of people that walked through the door that had at least one or some of those, that checklist would be checked entirely.
Pretty much, so, yeah. I
you know.
I'm the pastor, and I'm not going to wear anything special. We just are who we are, and we come to learn about Jesus and learn about God.
Right.
We don't want to put on pretense. So anyway, I'm glad you guys are here today. We are going to be talking, we have a Bible contradiction that supposedly Jesus' anointing took place in multiple different locations.
It did?
And the Bible's disagreeing with itself. So that's what I hear.
That's silly thing.
We also have a listener question about what is Truth Revolution's take on homosexuality. So we're going to try to tackle that given time. Plus, today we're talking about the main thing. One time during church, our worship leader fell asleep during the service.
Yeah.
I get to the end of my sermon, and we're supposed to have music at the end of the service, and I get done with my sermon, and I'm kind of like calling up the worship team, and I'm waiting, and we're standing there, and I think you were even playing bass at that time.
Yes, I remember that very well.
And so we're standing up there, and there is no worship leader, and we look, and he is asleep out in the sanctuary.
Yeah, that's funny.
He comes running up on stage. He's got like his mark across his forehead from leaning on the chair. Now, I was mad. I was mad. So I said nothing to him. I knew it would drive him nuts.
Right.
I knew it would hurt him, but I figured he deserved it. I didn't talk about it to him. I didn't say anything. Now, here's the deal. Like,
you gave him the silent treatment.
I gave him the silent treatment. Aww. And it drove him nuts. And honestly, I sinned.
Yes, you did.
I should have embraced him and forgiven him, and I should have like lifted him up somehow. I should have known better. I mean, I shouldn't have done that.
Right.
So yes, I sinned. But my guess is I'm not alone.
Oh no. You're not alone in this room.
My guess is there are things in your life that you shouldn't do, but you do them anyway.
Yes. Stop it.
A guy named C. Neil Strait says this: sin does not serve well as a gardener of the soul. It landscapes the contour of the soul until all that is beautiful has been made ugly, until all that is high made low, until all that is promising is wasted. Then life is like the desert, parched and barren. It is drained of purpose. It is bleached of happiness. Sin then is not wise, but wasteful. It is not a gate, but only a grace. Wow. Sin is ugly, man.
That is, it is.
But we live in it. But it kind of traps you, doesn't it? Like it sneaks up on you. So I purposely allowed one of my best friends to be hurt because I was mad at him.
Right. Because, you know, ultimately we are selfish beings.
Yeah.
Know?
Oh, yeah.
And it takes some getting over that, you know, and some people that have been doing this for years and years, Pastor Jeff.
Yeah.
Don't get over that easier than say I do, you know. I mean, just because you're a pastor doesn't mean you're not human.
Hey, can I give a big amen to that?
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, we spend all this time putting people up on pedestals.
Oh, man.
You know, and such as a pastor and stuff like that. I've done that my entire life. You are the first pastor I've never put on a pedestal.
Woo! That's good.
So, yeah.
Knock me down, man. Mm-hmm. I tell people, I don't even really, actually, we introduced me as Pastor Jeff, but that's mainly so people know that I'm a pastor.
Right.
I don't even.
You wouldn't even know otherwise.
I don't tell people, call me Pastor Jeff. I actually tell them, call me Jeff.
Right.
Like, we just don't want, at least at Revolution Church and many other places, we don't want to be put on a pedestal. Like, my gift is teaching. That's what God has called me to do. So I'm a teacher. That doesn't mean I'm better or I'm less sinful or anything like that.
Right. The pedestal is reserved for one being only.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And our sin is not a battle between me and you. It's not a battle between me and the guy who I got angry at. It's not a battle between you and the internet if your problem is pornography. It's not a battle between mean comments and the person you sent them about. You know where our struggle is based?
Tell me, Jeff.
It's in Ephesians chapter 6.
Okay.
It actually says this.
For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms.
The spiritual forces is what our struggle is against. Our battle is a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6 goes on and it says this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And it continues.
Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground.
Now listen to these carefully, people.
And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation.
Okay, now look at the five characteristics listed. All right, you got the belt of truth.
Yeah,
the breastplate of righteousness.
Right, shoes of the gospel.
The shield of faith.
And the helmet of salvation.
Okay, we got truth, righteousness, gospel, faith, salvation. Those are all defensive things if you look at the tool used to bring them about. A belt, a breastplate, shoes, shield, helmet. These are all defensive or reactive.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is our reaction to spiritual battles is almost exclusively defensive. Now, this is a biblical thing. These are good things. We want to put them into play. But the problem is a lot of times we stop there. If you're familiar with these verses, you know that we didn't read verse 17.
Right.
That we stopped it early. We have the belt of truth. We believe in the truth. We believe in the breastplate of righteousness. We want to do good things. We have shoes from the gospel. Like, we've heard the gospel. We believe in Jesus. We have the shield of faith. We believe in God. We have the helmet of salvation. God has protected us. But we stop there.
Why do we do that? Why do we do that?
Why do we do that? Why do we stop there? Why don't we go to the next verse? What is the next verse? Ephesians 6:17. And it says this.
It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Okay, we have an offensive weapon, people. And I don't mean offensive like the my face is offensive to your eyes.
Well, this weapon is offensive to evil.
Oh, it is offensive to evil in that way. But this is an offense weapon.
Right.
The word of God. We were not created to take spiritual beatings. We are created to fight spiritual battles.
Right.
Put on the full armor of God, Ephesians 6:13 says. It doesn't say, put on all of the armor and then leave your sword on the ground.
Right? Too many people do that.
It doesn't say, you know, just believe in God and trust he's going to take care of everything, but you don't need the sword. No. You don't need the word
of God. I went to battle, and I'm standing here on this hill, and I realized I left my sword in my other pants.
Right? You know, okay. We sin. I sin, even against my friends,
right.
And it's because I'm not using my weapon. I'm just being defensive. I'm just trying to do the right thing, but doing the right thing is the breastplate of righteousness. That's defensive.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time we stopped getting knocked around and start flagging back.
There you go.
We don't want to just read our Bible. We want to study it. We don't want to just taste our daily bread. We want to digest it. The question is how? How do we do that? How do we use the sword, the word of God, in a powerful, powerful way? And I think the answer is found in the life of King David. King David was a man after God's own heart.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to get to what David did, to why we can use the offensive weapon, how to use it, and the right way to use it so that our lives have victory. But first, we're going to do a Bible contradiction.
Okay.
Bible contradiction.
You're kind of giving me that look. I didn't know what it meant.
I was just
Timmy stuck in the well?
Creating suspense. It's Timmy stuck in the well.
We're gonna tell you how to read the Word of God. But first, Timmy is stuck in a well. All right. This Bible contradiction today is brought to you by the Thinking Atheist.
All right. We like Thinking Atheist.
Yeah, there you go.
I have a friend who's an atheist that we talked about on the show. Mm-hmm. And he told me that he heard our the show where you said that. You said, Jeff, you're probably nicer to your atheist friends than your Christian friends.
Right.
And he said, I think Dave's right.
All right. Check it out. Where did the anointing of Jesus take place? All right. We have three different verses.
His head. On his head.
Well, on his feet.
On his feet. Sorry, right. I was wrong.
Matthew 26:6-7. Basically, if you go read it, then we'll post this up on the internet. But the anointing happened in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. Why are you laughing?
I was wrong.
You were wrong. Then that's fine. Anyway, Matthew 26:6-7 says the anointing happened in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. An unnamed woman anointed Jesus.
Okay.
An oil is placed on his head. So you were right.
There we go.
In that point.
All right. I was right.
Yes. So you must have only read Matthew.
It's not funny anymore.
All right. Luke 7:36-38 says the anointing takes place at the house of the Pharisee in Galilee.
Okay.
Oil is not placed on Jesus' head, but on his feet.
Oh.
Yeah.
A different house, a different location, right. A different body part?
John 12:3 says it isn't an unnamed woman.
It was Mary.
Yeah, it was Mary who anointed Jesus. And so
what's going on?
What's going on here? I mean, I don't know. It's confusing.
So which one is it?
Yeah.
Is it this lady they named? Is it an unnamed lady?
That's what I'm asking you.
House of a Pharisee? Is it House of Simon the leper? Was it his head or his feet?
Right.
Okay. Cracked acronym. Let's go through it.
Okay.
The first D stands for?
The first C?
Stands for
context.
That's right. You got to know the context. The R stands for revealed by the Holy Spirit. E stands for early meaning in manuscripts. Mm-hmm. And then what we have to do here is start using all of these things.
Oh,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
I skipped all the way to the E. I don't know why I did that. The A is author's intent.
Mm-hmm.
The second C is credibility. You got to give these authors some credit. They're not dumb. They know what they're talking about.
K is knit together.
There you go. K is knit together. Very well. This creating a big web of stories that all fold together. The E is early meaning in manuscript, and D is dialect. What type of language are they using?
Right.
Here, we're going to give this guy a little credit. Now, we're not going to think that these guys are such idiots. Is there any way to reconcile these? And the answer is, hello, it's possible that Jesus was anointed more than once.
Oh, no, it's not.
Nowhere does it say, and Jesus was anointed, and this was the only time he was ever anointed. Never again was he ever anointed at all. And if someone says he was, you're a liar.
You know,
it doesn't say something like that.
As I was reading this, I was, you know, when before I emailed it to you, that's what I was thinking. It's like, well, it doesn't say here that this is the only time he was ever anointed.
It could have been anointed a couple times. Or another alternative is that he was anointed both on his head and on his feet.
Yeah.
That's a possibility too. Mm-hmm. Another possibility, it says it was they were in the home of Simon the leper, and the other one says that they were in the home of a Pharisee.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible that Simon the leper was
a Pharisee.
Da, 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 da. You see how that works?
That can't happen that way. That's too easy.
That's the answer for a Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
All right.
Yeah, see, you got me thinking and cracked every time I see a Bible contradiction now.
Nice. That's exactly what we want to do.
Because I'm looking at that, I'm like thinking, that can't be the only time he ever been anointed, maybe.
Ha, very good. You just got to read that and think a little bit outside the box. If you're looking to accuse, you're going to see accusations all over where there's no reason to make one.
Right.
All right, we're going to finish on the other side of this break. What do we need to do to make that offensive weapon, the Word of God, work? How do we stop sin? How do we get control of our spiritual lives, these spiritual battles?
Mm-hmm. I can think of it a couple ways.
Other side of this break, we're going to tell you how to do that with the Word of God. It's very, very important. I don't want anyone to miss this. Nobody miss this. If you're getting out of your car right now, go to truthrevolution.tv and listen to this later, okay? It's super important. Truthrevolution.tv is our website. Revolution Church, 9 and 11:15 every Sunday morning. Come on out, however you are, whatever you look like, whatever you smell like.
I got nothing to add.
Hey,
this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. We've been growing and now we're going to two services.
Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 11:15 a.m. Check us out at salinarevolution.com.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Well, most people here hadn't been for a long, long time, if ever, so don't worry, you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11:15 a.m.
salinarevolution.com or check us out on Facebook.
Revolution! Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
A skeptic asked a brilliant question. When Jesus came to earth, why didn't he share some advanced scientific knowledge to prove that he was God?
Imagine he did. In the first century, people didn't know about how earth revolves around the sun, how many planets our solar system has, and how gravity works. Suppose Jesus told them.
Instead of receiving information during the last few hundred years and landing on the moon recently, humans would have had superior knowledge for 2,000 years.
Picture how much we've advanced scientifically in just 100 years. If Jesus was handing out that information 2,000 years ago, where would we be now?
It's quite likely that Jesus' revelation of planets would seem paltry and uninteresting to people a couple of millennium later.
That's right. We'd say, oh, Jesus knew about 8 planets? Who cares? We know 10,000 planets. We've landed on 50, seeded life on 12, and are in the process of making our own.
Any information Jesus gave would have advanced our current knowledge and would not have had the effect of proving his deity.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same, to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Revolution.
We're back.
Yes. That's
that
right.
That was what, a 3-minute break or something?
I don't know. I don't like keep that. Track of that. I just go to sleep for a little while.
Well, rub the sleep out of your eyes, Jeff. And we're gonna tackle this whole offensive thing.
Okay, the answer about how do we use the weapon God has given us. So we found out in the first half the weapon is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we gotta use the Word of God.
Right.
But how?
Well, say I'm taking Kung Fu. And I never go to a class. But hey, I got this big tournament coming up.
Ah. Mm. Do you want to use the Kung Fu analogy, Grasshopper?
Yeah, I never study Kung Fu.
You have to study it well. You have to go to mm-hmm. class. You have to practice. You have to. Most of all, you've got to memorize your moves, Dave.
I do.
You got to get those inside of you.
That's why I've got a niece that does karate. And she's getting pretty high up there.
Yeah.
But she does what they're called katas. And it's basically where she does these moves over and over again. And at first, mm-hmm. when the kids start doing them, they look kind of clumsy and right. silly, you know. But after a while, they start getting them down, and it's like, ooh,
oh,
that looks really like she knows what she's doing.
Right. And what they want to do is to get these moves inside them and make them such a part of who they are
right.
that they simply, when someone attacks them, they simply respond with the right move automatically without ooh. Even having to think about it. They don't have to look up their move. They don't have to remember the name. They don't have to try to think about it. They just respond with the right move. Likewise, Psalm 119, verse 11 says this.
It says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
The question, how do we digest the word? How do we use the weapon? By hiding it in our hearts.
Kung Fu is strong.
Putting the word of God in a place where we'll always be able to access it. It doesn't matter if someone steals your Bible. It doesn't matter if the United States outlaws the Bible. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you are in a situation where you need a verse right now. You're not going to have to look it up because you right. already know it. You've memorized it. You've hidden it in the word of your heart.
And that's how you become strong.
That's right. Let me just make it absolutely blatantly clear. How do you use the weapon best? You have to memorize the word of God.
So basically you're saying the best weapon is hidden in your heart.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hmm.
Why else do you think a certain shoe company spends millions every year to put the phrase, just do it, in your head?
That's true.
Because when you hear that phrase, just do it, you want to go out and buy mm-hmm. a Nike.
Yeah, you know exactly what that is.
Yeah.
I mean, you see those three words together, and you know who that is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even fairly recent ones, like, I'm loving it. You know, suddenly right. I want to mm-hmm. go get something to eat.
Right.
I mean, and that's...
My mouth is watering. What's up with that?
It's because what you remember determines your actions. Mm-hmm. What you remember determines your actions.
Right.
What you remember determines your actions.
Hey, Jeff, I remember you said what we remember determines our actions.
Good, because I want you to remember that, because I want you to make some actions based on that. If you remember advertisements, you buy things. If you remember God's word, you become a better spiritual weapon.
Right on.
Memorizing God's word is not a new idea with King David, hundreds of years before him even. Deuteronomy mm-hmm. 6, it says this. This is a command from God.
It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
Okay, these verses instruct people how to follow God closely. You walk with the verses. Mm. You lie down with the word of God. You tie the word of God to your hand. They put it in your heart.
Basically 24/7.
Yeah, exactly.
Immerse
exactly.
yourself.
Exactly. That is exactly right. Mm-hmm. Now, we're gonna talk a little bit more about memorizing the word of God. But first, we want to get to a listener question.
I got a question.
All right. Dr. Randy, you're getting into some controversy here.
Oh, boy.
Is that how you say controversy? Controversy.
Controversial.
All right. Got a listener question from Jeremy. He asks, what is Truth Revolution's take on homosexuality? How do you respond to homosexuals? Hmm.
Okay.
I'm going to sit here, Jeff. You tell me.
You're not going to talk during this part?
I will. I do, because I have an opinion. A very
obviously
strong
with the whole Duck Dynasty thing mm-hmm. and just even our culture today, this is a huge issue.
Right.
You say one small thing and it just blows up.
It does.
So I'm just going to make a request. Anyone who hears this, if I say something stupid, don't blow it up.
Don't blow it up. Email them and ask for clarification
yeah. or correction. You know, so I'm going to wade into here carefully, but I want to quote our denomination about this. We're from the Brethren in Christ denomination, and they have an article, and we're going to link this article on the website, yes. truthrevolution.tv. They say, it is important when we look at the biblical text to keep in mind that scripture opposes the sexual practice of homosexual relations, not homosexual inclinations.
Okay.
So first of all, we're not saying, I just want to throw the word homosexuality out.
Right.
Because if someone says, what do you think about someone who's homosexual? Well, what do I think about that? I think they're a human being. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
Well, that's no different than really any other kind of sexual sin, correct?
Well, let me say, what do you think about a person who's white? Mm-hmm. Well, I think they're a person. What do you think about a person who's black? Well, I think they're a person. What do you think about a person who likes cars? I think they're a person. What do you think about a person who committed adultery? I think they're a human being. What do you think about a person
who's... I see a theme going on here, Jeff.
What do you think about a homosexual? Well, I think they're a human being. Yeah. Okay, this is the first thing. I don't even like the word homosexual because it's like you're categorizing someone by their sex. I don't want to categorize someone by their sexual preference or by their color or by... Right. I don't want to categorize people
and
like that.
And our society has gotten into doing that a lot.
Right. So I don't want to categorize, first of all. Second of all, I can say I believe that the homosexual sex is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
The action... But I think the people are people.
Right.
We need to be really careful. I mean, there's people are committing suicide because they're ashamed of this. And we need to be extremely careful not to.
Right. What we need to do is let love, real love, rule the day.
That's right. Now, our denomination... Exactly, Dave. Now, our denomination continues. In light of what we... You know, before I even read that, I should just say, we almost never preach against homosexual actions at Revolution Church. I don't think I've ever preached against it. Mm-hmm. Most people who come and who've been involved in homosexual actions actually will come and confess that I don't even have to say anything.
Right.
But the article says, but in light of what we consider a biblical view of homosexuality, we must not allow ourselves to be homophobic. Christians can be vulnerable to stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
From the Christian perspective, homosexual practice is a sin since it offends against the order of God's creation as we understand it from the scriptures. But it is a sin on the same level that adultery and divorce and spousal abuse offend against the biblical worldview. So, you know, that would be, we're going to post a link to the article. You guys can read more. It's a great article. Of course, some people say that Jesus never spoke on homosexuality. What's our response to that? Well, Jesus was who put Paul in charge of writing most of our scriptures mm-hmm. in the New Testament. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 24 to 27, Paul actually condemns homosexual and lesbian acts.
Right.
It's quite clear.
The acts. Yeah.
Romans 1 says, therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men. So this is the New Testament, Paul, who was appointed by Jesus, teaching
right.
that this is wrong. And some people say, well, doesn't the Bible have dumb rules like not cutting your hair or not combining fabrics? And mm-hmm. well, and that is the Old Testament. You right. have to, you know, like, go back to our cracked acronym. What is the author's intent? What's the dialogue? What was the purpose? What's the context? And the Old Testament has all sorts of rules that we don't follow today. No Christian has followed those rules since Jesus rose from the dead because he abolished the need to follow those laws, period.
Right.
We're under the new covenant, which, by the way, that is what Paul was under when he was writing Romans chapter 1, verses 24 to 27, when he spoke against homosexual and lesbian actions.
Right.
So that's why if people are like, well, Leviticus also says this, da-da-da, and all these dumb rules. Well, we don't follow those rules.
Right.
And we don't necessarily condemn homosexual practices based on that Old Testament. We believe Paul reconfirmed that in the new covenant. Mm-hmm. And some people say, well, but people were born that way. Okay, well, I don't know what the science will say in 5 to 10 years, but let's just say people are born with that tendency. I wouldn't be surprised, because we're all born with a propensity to sin.
Oh, amen.
It's completely natural for a man to lust after a beautiful married woman, but just because something's natural doesn't mean it's morally right.
Right. You shouldn't give in to the inclinations of your heart. If that's what is in your heart.
Exactly. You know? When someone insults me, it's completely natural to punch them in the face.
It is. And that's the way we are as humans.
But I'm not going to do that.
Right.
Right. We have to learn what God wants from us yes. rather than what our natural desires
God
are.
God wants us to set our selfishness aside and follow him.
So that's our foray into our culture's forbidden question.
Right.
So thanks, Jeremy.
I got a question.
Yes. Thank you, Jeremy, for that question. And just to kind of like wrap things up here as far as that question goes, man, they're people. Put your arm around them.
Human beings.
Love them just like you would anybody else because they are human beings first and foremost. It's
if you have a bigger problem with homosexuality than you do your own sin, you got a big problem.
Go. Mm-hmm.
What was it that Jesus said?
Take the plank out of your own eye.
Before you get the speck out of someone else's.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. And I don't think Christians need to be making laws against homosexuality either.
No.
I mean, I got enough problems following what God wants me to do without right. telling people who aren't even Christians to follow those rules.
Right.
All right. So anyway, hey, let's stop taking a spiritual beating every day. Fight back. Memorize the Word of God.
That's
what our main topic was today. Memorize the Word of God. The listener question was something totally separate. But memorize the Word of God. All right. That's it. Period. Go memorize the Word of God. Get that Word in your hearts. Put on the full armor of God, everything.
Right. Take up that sword.
You got to memorize it to get into you. All right. Revolution Church, Sunday mornings, 9, 11, 15. TruthRevolution.tv, our website for the radio show. Get mm-hmm. on over there. And, you know, if you feel like donating to our show, it would be a tremendous help.
Right. It's we don't take a salary.
You guys make this happen.
Yeah, you do.
You make it happen. Pay the bills. So we just talk. All right. Thanks for joining us. TruthRevolution.tv. Hope you can get out here. We'll see you next week on Truth Revolution. Take care.